Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elanor Retail Property Fund Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Glenn Willis, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to this results presentation for the Elanor Retail Property Fund for the first half results of the financial year. With me on the call today I have Michael Balliver, who's co-head of real estate and fund manager for ERF, Matt Healy, who's head of retail development and mixed use, and Matt's partner in the retail business, and Paul Sivia, COO of Elanor Investors Group. For this presentation today, we'll be referring to the presentation pack that we announced to the ASX this morning. By way of a brief introduction before I hand over to Michael and colleagues, I'd like to say that I'm pleased with the progress we achieved for ERF over the period. ERF is a supermarket-based retail real estate REIT, and a fund that demonstrated very strong resilience in an income sense over the half, notwithstanding the COVID impacts that affected some of the investments, particularly the Tweed Mall investment that was impacted by border closures over the half. The portfolio is very well positioned. The team have done, I believe, a very good job in positioning the portfolio for over the half, both in terms of growing income potential, growing capital value potential, and also the fund is well positioned, being very lowly geared for accretive investments going forward. Against that background, I'd like to hand over to Michael Balliver, who's the fund manager of ERF, to take us through the results for the half.
Thanks, Glenn, and welcome everybody to today's presentation of the ERF results for the half. Pleasingly, we were able to deliver a $4.05 million funds from operations, and again, despite the challenging environment that we faced continually for this half, and as Glenn mentioned, particularly for our Tweed Mall asset and the impact that it had given the border closures, the Queensland government's mandated border closures, which impacted a significant component of the trade area for that asset. Pleased to provide a distribution per security of 3.01 cents, and also pleasingly we were able to achieve 97% collection rate across the portfolio if we exclude the impact of Tweed Mall, and 94 inclusive of Tweed Mall, with 100% of our tenants trading at the end of the half. NTA per security is $1.22, and that follows a distribution, special distribution that was made in August 2021 of 12 cents per security, and also based on valuations with a weighted average cap rate of 7%, with our sub-regionals weighted average cap rate of 6.9%, and the neighbourhood centres at 7.2%. There continues to be strong demand for sub-regional and neighbourhood shopping centres, and a very significant increase in transaction volumes in the latter half of 2021. We expect that to continue, which will, in our view, provide strong support for the cap rate and potential improvements, ongoing improvements there as well, following the 30 basis points improvements that we saw for this half and in line with our peers. Following the sale of Moranbah Fair in August, our gearing is now 18.3%, which is well below our 30 to 40% gearing target range, which provides us the capacity to acquire further assets and continue to invest in our existing assets up to a investment capacity of $50 million to maintain a gearing level of 35%. Just taking you to page 5 of the presentation pack, as Gwen mentioned, our focus will continue to be investing in supermarket anchored retail centres, providing strong and sustainable cash flows for investors, and their performance, which we'll go through in a little bit more detail, shows the resilience of the portfolio and positions us really well for strong income and capital growth going forward. As Glenn mentioned, the fund's well positioned to continue to grow FFO and distributions going forward once economic conditions normalise, particularly again for around the Tweedmoor asset. So pleasingly, we have 100% of tenants trading, 94% collection, and positive leasing momentum we're seeing really off the back of our really very strong supermarket performance across our portfolio, which I'll go into a little bit more detail. And we're well positioned to continue to reposition our assets to continue to demonstrate further capital growth in the portfolio. I'm just turning to page 6 of the presentation pack and wanted to again highlight the impact of the border closure, particularly for Tweedmoor, as I mentioned earlier. Excluding that border closure, our collection rate across the portfolio would have been 97%, with the collection rate at Tweedmoor being at 90%. But more importantly, our supermarkets, what we're trying to demonstrate is, on the next table, is the impact of COVID and comparing our MHC at 2019 versus our 21 sales, and our sales across the board for our majors in the portfolio up almost 8%, with strong performance from our discount department stores. But importantly, the 5% increase for the supermarkets was impacted by a negative 8.2% impact of our supermarket sales at Tweedmoor. So the balance of our portfolio experienced supermarket sales growth of 14.3%, comparing MAT at December 19 versus December 21. Based on that, we're expecting that that provides, like I said, resilience in the portfolio. And the graph below really shows the impact of the border closure on the Tweedmoor sales and footfall. The border reopened on the 13th of December, and we're anticipating a strong rebound in 2022, not only from the border closure, but very significant population growth and migration to South-East Queensland and the northern New South Wales regions, which continue to see people moving from Sydney and Melbourne in particular to more attractive locations that the coast provides. In terms of driving our capital growth initiatives, I'll just turn you to page 9, where the sales performance of all of our assets really provides an excellent platform for us to continue with executing on our capital growth initiatives, particularly for Tweedmoor and Manningmoor, where we propose to transform those assets into more neighbourhood centres, replacing the DDS in both those, having flexibility around that with a relatively short lease expiry profiles for the DDSs and particularly for Tweedmoor, which is now on holdover. We continue to make good progress at Tweed in relation to the strategic master planning, and we're very pleased with the progress to date. The other asset, Gladstone Square, sales continue to perform strongly. Our strategy there is to continue to improve occupancy by introducing additional everyday goods and services. Retailers, after introducing Chemist Warehouse into the centre and absorbing some latent area in that centre, and we believe that the strong sales performance and introduction of that key mini major tenant will continue to drive footfall and therefore leasing inquiry. Our asset at Glenorchy continues to experience phenomenal income growth off the back of the strong performance of the brand itself, and we expect to hit percentage rent targets following the closure of our competing DVS in that market, which closed in January of this year. So we're expecting to hit our percentage rent, and that will grow income for that asset. North Bay Plaza, we've stabilised the lease expiry profile of that asset, and look forward to executing on some new pad site initiatives that will be accretive to value, given that they're on surface land that doesn't carry very significant investment value. Turning to slide 10, so the capital management initiatives that we've undertaken, despite the fact that we've paid a 12-cent distribution, our gearing remains at 18.3% following the sale of Moranbah Fair, which provides us with really good capacity of $50 million in our borrowings without the need to raise further equity to acquire accretive non-discretionary focused retail investments, and also look to execute on our asset repositioning strategies as well, whilst maintaining our gearing within our target range of 30-40%. On that note, I'll hand over to Matt to run through a little bit more detail on the actual portfolio.
Thank you, Michael. Just turning to slide 12 of the presentation deck to provide a portfolio overview. The portfolio's focus on secure income with further value upside is very much derived through its strong orientation towards supermarket, everyday goods and essential services. Over 44% of the portfolio's gross rent is secured from strong covenant anchor tenants, being Woolworths, Coles, Aldi and IGA. Furthermore, over 77% of the portfolio's gross rent and income is generated from everyday needs: food, liquor, pharmacy, healthcare and essential services, which highlights the sustainability and the convenience qualities of the portfolio. The portfolio has a strong weighting towards growing economies of New South Wales and Queensland, with a weighting of 65% to New South Wales. Drawing your attention to slide 13 of the presentation, the portfolio had a positive valuation movement over the first half, tightening to a weighted average capitalisation rate of 7%, reflecting the defensive qualities and secure income of the portfolio, which, as Michael alluded to, performed very resiliently during the pandemic. The sale of Moranbah Fair at book value allows the group to reinvest into an accretive acquisition, with a number of opportunities currently being evaluated. The portfolio's weighted average lease expiry, or WALE, is 4.1 years, with circa 95% occupancy. This WALE allows for a number of strategic holdovers to maintain flexibility for future value add, such as the Target discount department store at Tweed Mall. From an ESG perspective, just turning to slide 15 of the presentation deck, Elanor's mission is to grow the portfolio whilst making positive and impactful social and environmental contributions to the communities in which we operate within. From an environmental perspective, our strategic collaboration with Solar Bay has expedited the installation of solar power and the early adoption of renewable energy sources at both Tweed Mall and Gladstone Square. Further, the portfolio's continued investment in water harvesting and waste management has seen an ongoing reduction of the portfolio's carbon footprint. From a social standpoint, we continue to reposition our assets as social infrastructure hubs, introducing additional medical, health and wellbeing usages. As a contribution to the defence against the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Elanor introduced vaccination clinics at two of the portfolio's assets, in addition to continuing to partner with community groups, both at a corporate and individual asset basis, with strategic ongoing relationships supporting Seniors Week, the Red Cross, Lions Club, the Salvation Army, in addition to the countless sponsorships of local sporting clubs within the communities in which we operate. This has and will continue to be an ongoing focus for Elanor moving forward as we continue to invest in the communities in which we operate. I'll now hand over to Paul Sivia, Elanor's Chief Operating Officer, to provide an update on the first half 22 financial results.
Thank you, Matt. And turning to page 17 of the investor presentation, the fund generated a funds from operation result of $4.05 million for the half, and that reflected at a 95% payout ratio, a distribution of 3.01 cents in respect of the half. Importantly, that result was struck with the impact of $0.6 million of COVID-19 related provisions. These provisions relate primarily to Tweed Mall and reflect the fact that Tweed Mall sits essentially on the border of Queensland and New South Wales, and as a result of the protracted closure of that border, had significant impact to its trade area. Based on a continuation of current economic and trading conditions, we would not expect at this stage for there to be any further COVID impact in respect of the second half. Turning to the balance sheet on page 17, the fund is very well positioned in respect of capital. Net tangible assets per security are $1.22, with a low level of net debt of $36 million, reflecting a net gearing ratio of 18.3%. As Michael and Matt have both mentioned, the fund is well positioned to make a $50 million earnings accretive acquisition in respect of its own capital capacity and not exceed a gearing ratio of 35%. Briefly, in respect of debt and capital management on page 19, the drawn debt of the fund is $41.7 million and, as I mentioned, reflects a gearing of 18.3%. The average maturity, debt to maturity in years is 2.4, and the fund is 100% hedged with an average hedge to maturity of 1.4 years. The performance of the fund in respect of its covenants is extremely strong indeed, reflecting that low level of gearing. I'll now hand to Glenn for some closing remarks.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Michael and Matt. As Michael and Matt tabled, we're very positive in regards to the prospects for ERF. We're very positive in regards to the prospects for growing income with the leasing initiatives and particularly the recovery from the COVID impact on Tweed Mall going forward. We're very positive in regards to the capital growth potential for the assets within the portfolio. And we're also positive for the earnings, the accretive earnings potential from acquiring additional high investment quality assets, given the fund's very favourable capital position. So growing income, growing capital, and acquisition prospects combine to what we believe deliver growing security holder value. We're very cognizant of where the net tangible asset backing for the fund is against security price, and suffice to say that is a key focus of us, of ours, to grow security holder value against that that NTA for the fund. So against that, we look forward to taking questions, any questions that you may have now.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ed Day from MA Financial. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, team. Just one from me. I think you previously called out a strategy to divest and redeploy for several of the assets. Just wondering if you could update on that strategy, particularly with regards to Glenorchy and Northway.
Yes, well, the fund is, the resilience of the fund's assets, particularly the supermarket assets, and the performance of those assets, we believe present very, very strong capital growth prospects for the fund going forward. At this juncture, we believe that it's in the security holders maintaining those assets and growing the income of those assets is going to deliver capital gains for investors in the fund. And same goes for the Tui Mall and Northway assets. There are significant capital value or initiatives that are in place there to grow the capital value. So all the funds at this juncture, as you would have seen from the cap rate for the broader portfolio, we believe that's a very, very conservatively priced, and coupled with a very modest gearing for the fund, we think there is significant shareholder value uplift at hand with the assets in the portfolio, and to add further assets, further supermarket anchored assets for the portfolio. So suffice to say, Ed, we don't see the merit in divesting the assets at this juncture, given there's significant upside across all the assets in the portfolio.
Thanks, Glenn. That's all from me.
Your next question comes from Laurie Ellis from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. I just wanted to ask, with Tweed Mall, considering that's 45% of the total assets, can you just walk us through where the net operating income was back in, say, 2019 versus today? Just noting some of those supermarket sales have increased dramatically. Obviously been impacted by the border closure, but post-closures, getting beyond normal trading now, where would you see the repositioning? Where's your timeline, the net operating income post that repositioning of the discount department store being a triple supermarket anchored centre?
Good morning, Laurie. Thank you for your question. Just in regards to Tweed Mall, since we acquired that asset, the master plan and the strategic investment thesis is to unlock what is irreplaceable real estate. And to do so is requiring us to remix and release and relocate a number of the majors and the mini majors at that asset. Now, what that is doing is hamstringing the short-term income growth of the asset in order for us to unlock the significant value upside in what is 5 hectares of unencumbered and extremely favourably zoned land in the heart of the Tweed CBD. As such, the NOI has not materially grown at the asset, and that's very much part of the strategy in which we have deployed and executed to remix and to actually unlock the value of the latent demand of the real estate, which will now, and you'll see in the presentation deck, one of the strategic holdovers, in fact, is the Target discount department store at Tweed Mall. Target sales continue to grow at that asset, but we continue to leave Target in holdover so that we maintain optionality and flexibility whilst we work through a very comprehensive strategic master plan with Tweed Council, which we're doing at the moment.
Matt, if I can just sort of ask, is it something you can share with us on the call as to what that forecast NOI looks like versus today? Just considering the valuation is sitting at $87 million, I believe back in 2019, in June, it was $101 million. So I'm just trying to get some numbers, just my own internal forecast, as to where that property should be valued after the repositioning work.
Well, what we can say, Laurie, is Target at Tweed Mall were paying a $1.1 million gross rent. That in order for us to maintain ultimate flexibility, we have allowed Target to continue trading on a capped occupancy basis, which has impacted the NOI for the asset by circa $450,000 to $500,000. As such, NOI has not, to the point I made before, materially grown from the upwards of $5 million in which we acquired the asset 2 years ago. That being said, what we have been able to deliver over the last 18 months, off the back of the introduction of Aldi, to turn the asset into a triple supermarket anchored convenience based asset, we've also been able to progress with the optionality of the site with upwards of 1,000 apartments, ultimately being the highest and best use for that site in the medium to longer term.
And Laurie, Paul Sidia speaking, just to add, the current valuation, of course, is impacted by the approach that valuers take to the asset. And there are two important elements to that. One is, there is no value ascribed to the strategic value of this real estate that Matt has spoken about. And secondly, in respect to Target being in holdover, which is a strong advantage for us because it gives us the ability to act on the appropriate implementation of the master plan, but valuers see it differently. Valuers say, well, golly, if they're in holdover, you might need to allow a certain amount of time of downtime, you might need to allow for certain leasing incentives to bring in a new mini-major. Well, in fact, that won't be the strategy. The strategy will be to remix into that space at the appropriate time, invariably one of the supermarkets. So we are impacted by those two elements of the way in which valuations are prepared.
Thanks, Paul. And then, Matt, if you can just sort of give me a bit of an estimate on time just for the actual retail repositioning, excluding the DA upside on the residential apartments.
So, Lawrence, we're involved in quite an extensive master planning process with not only Tweed Council but the New South Wales Department of Planning, with a view of Michael and I unlocking the master plan approval by the third quarter calendar year 2022. Concurrent with that, we're leaving the Target discount department store in holdover, and we're continuing to lease up vacancies at the asset in the areas that will not hamstring or impact our master plan moving forward.
In short, Laurie, we're not anticipating undertaking any significant development activity until such time as our strategy is more de-risked.
Yeah, noted. Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I will pause momentarily for questions. Your next question comes from Jeff Peterson, private investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling about one of your slides, slide 26, the portfolio cap rates. It talks about ERF's gone from 7.3 to 7%. And if I look at the dividend, 3 cents, if you annualise that 6 cents on a $1.22 NAV, you're looking at a 4.9% dividend yield ERF's paying out, which is a lot less than, the other ones on your chart, like Charter Hall Retail, for example.
A couple of things to point out there. First half has been impacted by the impacts on Tweed Mall. And we are, as a result of the sale of Moorumba in August, our gearing level is much lower than our peers. So if you, in terms of comparing apples and apples, I think you need to normalise, the fund structure and, the impacts of we've had, particularly for Tweed, which is our largest asset, on the earnings for the half.
So I noticed in your June report you sold Auburn Centre and Moranbah. And you had debt on those, which was a lot less than the yield you were running on the investments. So you've actually reduced your income by selling those two. And you talked about buying, you know, using your capital to buy another shopping centre back in the end of June period. And you haven't bought anything in the last 6 months. So is that looking to be soon that you will buy another asset?
Look, Jeff, we'll buy an asset when we see the value in the investment value in buying another asset. The fund is very lowly geared at the moment and has the capacity to acquire another asset for the fund and keep it within a conservative gearing structure, but. We certainly aren't going to buy an asset that we don't believe is high investment quality. And in terms of putting a date on when we will acquire assets, we're looking at assets all the time. And Michael and Matt and team see pretty much all the assets that trade in the marketplace. But the next asset we buy, you can be rest assured, it'll be a high investment quality asset.
Okay. So it's just impacted on the dividend yield and the dividend cents by selling off.
Yes, we're also mindful of not buying an asset and having the capital value deteriorate. So that's front of mind as well. To acquire an asset just for the dividend, just for the short term cash flow is now be not the right thing to do. We want capital value upside and strong earnings.
Yeah, it just impacts the rating of VRF against other stocks because the dividend keeps coming down.
Yeah, we're well aware that the very low and very modest gearing of the fund is not providing the earnings that it could do. But we're looking to rectify that as soon as we see a quality asset that we can acquire.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Your next question comes from Laurie Ellis from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, just following on from Jeff's question just before, in regards to acquisitions, would you be assuming, or should we assume any acquisition has to be under the $50 million because that's the capacity to fully debt fund it, considering the cost of capital, or could you bring in a strategic partner for something larger?
Yes, we can do both. We can buy an asset in its own right under up to about $50 million at the stage, but we're also well positioned to buy assets with strategic partners as we have done for other funds across the group.
Is there any preference between the two?
No, our focus is just buying the highest investment quality asset.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Willis for closing remarks.
Thank you very much for joining the call today. And again, thank you for your interest in the Elanor Retail Property Fund. As I mentioned, we're very positive about growing the income and value of the fund and critically growing security holder value. And we look forward to updating you further over the course of this half. Thank you very much and have a good day.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.